guitar. Listen to the sound of the American heart. And opera music on a Saturday night brings a smile to your face and a tear to your eye. Sing a song about the heartland.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, that's all you got to do is text me. Joining us now here on the program, he's our senior U.S. Senator, also the candidate for governor here in Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. Got a lot of news out there, Jeff, and it's going to get more and more as we go through the year, but glad to talk to you.
Well, we'll start here. What's going on in Washington, D.C.? Talk to us a little bit about Venezuela, your thoughts on an aggressive attack from the Trump administration here, particularly in our hemisphere, not just Venezuela, I think, with regard to Cuba as well, rhetorically, but what do you make of it?
Well, you could see it coming. You know, we've been blowing up their boats full of drugs, you know, coming to the United States and going to Cuba and on both sides over the either the Pacific or the Caribbean. Trump has talked to Maduro, told him, hey, you need to step down, get out of the way. You're not the elected president. And he gave him every opportunity. But there's a lot there. People need to understand this. Venezuela is a center point in the Western Hemisphere for Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea to have basically a base to do things close to the United States. And Cuban also is one of those. So President Trump has told everybody, listen, the Western Hemisphere is going to go again by the Monroe Doctrine, which says, hey, East, get out of the way. Everybody in Europe, get out of the way. We're going to run our own hemisphere. We're going to be strong. We're going to keep our minerals and our oil. And the other thing, too, people don't realize is a lot of this cheating on this Dominion voting machines is coming from Venezuela. It started with Hugo Chavez and the Smartmatic. And as I said on Steve Bannon yesterday, there's a handful of people up here that wouldn't be in Congress, either the Senate or the House, if it hadn't been for the cheating on these Dominion Smartmatic voting machines. I mean, it's all proven. It's all out there. And so President Trump's getting to the bottom of all of it, but he's trying to make America safe. It's America first. I'm glad he did it. We've got a lot of problems here within our borders, but a lot of it is because of what's happening at our borders. You know, he's making a huge difference.
The other thing, the ice saga in Minnesota, and I don't know how much you keep it up with it, but the left wing media is really trying to seize upon it. What's your reaction to what's going on up there?
Yeah, what a tragedy! You know, that young lady loses her life, and whose fault is it? Well, we've got law officers in a lot of cities that's trying to send home these illegals that are either fraud or creating crime. And everybody said, well, we don't want to send them all home. Well, folks, you got to get in there amongst all of them to find the ones that you need to find. But here's what gets me. In Minneapolis, where is Tim Walsh? Get your fat butt out on the streets and block cars. Same thing with the mayor. What they do is they rile people up and say, get out there and fight back against ICE and fight back against the police. You know, we're all behind you, but they're sitting inside, protected. If you really believe that, Tim Walsh, get your fat butt out there and do it yourself. But they caused that young lady to get shot because, now, she'd been out there several times blocking traffic and doing things she shouldn't be doing. And at the end of the day, it's just unfortunate this happened. But I can see why it happened. People, the ICE agents are scared, you know, for their lives, and they should be. But it's all started because of the Democrats and these communists up there just trying to push the narrative of how you got to fight back and we'll either pay you money to protest or just go out there and fight for the, you know, what we believe in. So it's nonsense.
Coach, you qualified to run for governor this week. Let's talk a little bit about it. How far along the process are you to kind of getting into more of a understanding of what's going on here in the state?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the last 5 years trying to, you know, understanding it and our strengths and weaknesses, and that's what you have to do. You look at the whole scenario, and this is not about Democrat or a Republican. This is about Americans that live in Alabama that love the state and want to make it better. And we want to do the same thing. And people ask me, why would you make this move from the United States Senator to governor? And I weighed both of it. And basically, where can I help the most? And I began to like what's going on up here. Obviously, with President Trump, we didn't get anything done for 4 years of Biden. But I see the scenario too, where I can go back to the state, put together staff, and a lot of our weak points, and try to make better. But we got a lot of room for improvement. And again, everybody says, "Where are you going to start?" Well, you start everywhere, to be honest with you. And again, it all starts by a plan, getting a game plan together. We've started a little bit of that. We'll do more of it as we go. Again, I've still got a year up here that we got to fight for the federal side of Alabama. But, you know, getting more people to move to the state, you know, do things to where we get manufacturing. We have to grow our base. We have to grow the state. We have to take advantage of what we have. And again, it's like a football team. I mean, you look at your strengths, you look at your weaknesses, and you try to bring them both up to where you give a better life for everybody that lives in the state. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a here before you know it for the primary, and then we'll obviously Doug Jones is going to run again against me in the general election next year, and we'll take it very seriously because we cannot allow, you know, people that believe in men should play in women's sports, higher taxes, universal health care paid for by the government, which doesn't work, all those things. There's not one thing that the Democrats believe in that's going to help this country get better.
Well, where do you? You said you start everywhere. What is everywhere? Just, you know, I guess you know. Whenever we talk about state issues, education sort of looms the largest. But where do you see yourself really, really excelling, really thriving?
Well, I mean, I don't think one thing's more important than the other. But you brought it up, education. We're going to change that. The K-12. Community colleges, our four-year universities, which we have a lot of good things going on. But I've been around it now for a long, long time and seeing what's good and bad about education. We have got to become better. We have got to teach our kids to read. We've got to have workforce development. We've got to get this indoctrination, DEI, wokeism out of our four-year universities. We've got to do things to make our kids better. We don't need to indoctrinate them. Let's teach them something and give them the opportunity this country gives you to make a great life for yourself. And, of course, infrastructure. The one thing I want to do is come in on all this fraud. And everybody points at California, which is awful. I mean, they're $30-40 billion in debt every year that we have to bail them out. And look what's going on in Minneapolis. We've got fraud in our state. And I've told people this, the One Big Beautiful Bill basically states that if states are going to be more held accountable for what you do in the One Big Beautiful Bill, and if we don't change what we're doing right now and get people that are not supposed to be on some of these subsidies, it's going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars of states' money, taxpayers' money, to pay for these people. Well, we got to go in there and put a plan, and we're starting to work on that. So, you know, there's many things to do with infrastructure, the basis for, again, going back to health care, which is very important. But again, there's not enough time in the day. You have to get all these things done. But we're going to be prepared on day one to get it done.
Well, you brought up infrastructure. Probably a lot of people who are listening to this right now are driving somewhere. You know, the usual problem areas, I-10, getting across the bay for our audience. Certainly, I think I-65, you'd be driving in the middle of nowhere on Interstate 65 in Alabama and get stuck in traffic. I mean, you know, like these sort of marquee things. What should we expect from a Tuberville administration on some of the roads and bridges here?
Well, see, that's the reason I fight against all this money we're sending to Ukraine. A lot of this money going out of our country to other people when it should be staying in our country. And Katie and I both are fighting for that. And a lot of that is you just say, well, why are we sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine? And when we need to 3-lane or 6-lane I-65, I-85, redo our bridges and all that. It's like pulling teeth up here to get people to understand it, because you got so many people that run on fighting wars and doing things that don't really make a lot of sense when we need to take care of the people at home. And that's what we fight for up here every day. And again, we're trying to get more federal money back to the state. I know that there's some roads being built. We got to get that bridge built down in Mobile. We have to get it built. And I've been up for 5 years and they've been talking about it, and we hadn't stuck a shovel in the ground yet. And we got to find the money somewhere. If we got to go out there and shake the trees in the federal government with President Trump, say, listen, this is not only going to help, Alabama, it's going to help the East and West Coast, this corridor down in Mobile. It's got to be done. And there's not enough talk going on about that, but I talk to people weekly about that bridge, and we're making a plan. Hopefully it'll get started before we get into office, but we're going to end up having to finish it. But it's going to be very expensive, but expense is no limit when it comes to building the state of Alabama's infrastructure to get more traffic running from that port down. That port is going to be a huge dividend for the entire state of Alabama, and we've got to get that thing built.
Coach, the other kind of hot button in the state discussions, gambling, and where do you see yourself on gambling? What is there to expect if you're governor on that front?
Yeah, well, I was asked the other day about a lottery, and everybody in the country got a lottery, but us. And for those people out there that don't understand, I spent a lot of time talking to the U.S. senators up here, the 8-10 of them, Democrat and Republican, that are now U.S. senators because they timed out and then they ran for U.S. Senate. And, do your due diligence. Look at the things that it's good for. And, again, there's always good and bad about something. And at the end of the day, there's not that much money involved in a lottery. It's not there. I mean, you're going to make some because the expense is astronomical of putting all the machines in and hiring the people and doing all those things. And the state's not going to make that much money. But it goes back to this, Jeff, and I'll say this. I'm not running a dictatorship here. If the House and Senate vote to for a lottery or whatever, I'm going to let the people decide it and let the people in the state decide what they want. I'm not a big gambler. Okay. People ask me, says, you don't gamble. I said, hey, I gamble every Saturday when I'm coaching. They say, at the end of the day, that's enough pressure for me. I work too hard to go out there and just throw money away. But the thing that I do believe in is this is a free country. Allow people to make their own decision, and I won't stand in the way of that.
Well, the problem in Alabama is you don't just get a lottery. Everything else comes along with it, and that includes casino gambling and sports betting, just how it is, how it's been. Do you draw the line somewhere with the level or the amount of gaming that would come with a lottery vote?
Yeah, well, I hear people say they want a lottery. They want both a lottery and gambling. They want a sports book. They want horse racing, dog racing, all this. Again, it all goes back to one thing. Do your study. Do your due diligence. Sell the good on both sides to the people in Alabama. I think that's what a governor should do. Hey, this is what's going to be good about it. This is what's going to be bad about it. And then let people vote on it. Give them an opportunity. And again, I think that's I think that would satisfy a lot of people over the years. And I know living in the state for over 25 years, I hear more about that than anything. But one thing you have to go back and look at now, iPhones and computers have really taken a lot of money away from a lot of these states that have gambling, because it's legal to gamble now. It's legal to gamble online and using your phone and making these bets for, I don't know, I can't think of some of these names that that have these online betting services, but it's, you know, the big tech has caused things to really excel. And if you want to find a way to gamble, you can pretty much do it.
Coach, we'll get you out of here on this. How you feeling about the playoffs, college football playoffs?
You know, it's going to be interesting. My God, Ole Miss is in the semifinals. They just show what the NIL's done. The NIL, look at Indiana. I mean, you know, they're probably the favorite to win. Now, all four of these teams, and I've watched them all, they're very good. And we got the first one tonight, Ole Miss versus Miami. Miami looked very good the other day, but the quarterback, Carson Beck, is probably not the worst, but he's probably the least best quarterback of the four teams because he's not a scrambling guy. He's got to sit in the pocket. So I'm going tomorrow night to the Peach Bowl. For some reason, they put me in the Peach Bowl Hall of Fame along with Nick Saban and Ralph Regan. But I'm going to that game. Looking forward to it. I haven't seen up close, you know, this quarterback from Indiana. But I would have to say right now Indiana would be the favorite simply for the fact that they've run the gambit and hadn't lost. They played well. And, you know, they've beaten Oregon before. But I tell you, Oregon really looked good in the last two games.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate your time here. And folks want to find out anything about your campaign or what you're doing, how can they do so?
At Senator Tuberville or Coach for Gov. Either one of those is fine. But thank you. Look forward to seeing you, Jeff. A lot of good things happening, especially down in your area, Mobile. You know, the Secretary of Navy's down there last few days, and there's a lot of good things coming.
Well, Coach, let's do it again soon, and safe travels.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Smokes a lot of dope. Mama is depressed. Barely makes a sound. Daddy's got a girlfriend in another town. Bob Dylan sings like a rolling stone. And time marches on.